So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we celebrate today our Lord's triumphant entry into heaven. 40 days after he had risen from the dead. And we see at the center of the festivity of today our Lord's being, or his hypostatic union, as it's called theologically, the union of two natures, a divine and human, in one person. So our Lord is ascending into heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father. We don't emphasize we don't focus on his getting rewarded as God, because he can't be rewarded as God. He already is Almighty God and enjoys all glory and honor that way. But we have to remember that our Lord, in his human nature, and he had a human will that obeyed the Heavenly Father, and his human nature that suffered so much. We can never, ever imagine how much he suffered and accomplished in obedience to the Father. That's what he's being rewarded for on Ascension Day, as he sits at the right hand of the Father. As God, he was already there from all eternity, but now, as Jesus Christ, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So what is our Lord being rewarded for in his human nature? He's being rewarded, we might say, for taking the hard way, for doing the difficult things. And it only makes sense. We don't get rewarded for doing easy things, do we? We get rewarded for doing the hard things. And Jesus, most certainly, more than anyone else, did the hard thing. He was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And he had, throughout his entire life, his passion and death in front of his eyes. He knew it was coming. You know that saying, anticipation is worse than the realization? Think of how much people suffer ahead of time, knowing what will happen, or expecting something to happen. Of course, we don't know the future, but Jesus knew the future. He's Almighty God. So in his human nature, he's already suffering throughout his entire life. So he is most abundantly honored, glorified, rewarded for what he accomplished in his human nature as our Redeemer. He teaches us, too, that we must seek the hard way ourselves. God won't reward us for doing the easy things that don't cost us anything, that are, again, easy to do. Where's the reward in that? The reward is in doing the difficult things, the hard things, the things that go against our fallen human nature. But this is how we must strive to live. Indeed, isn't this the life of a saint on earth, choosing to do the harder thing, not the easier thing? The saints knew where the reward lay. And of course, in choosing the harder way, that gets easier with time, because we are creatures of habit. But then God will reward all of that that is done. There's another way to express taking the easy way out. It's called cutting corners. And it's so easy for us to do in the spiritual life. and it's dangerous. I'm not talking necessarily about something that's a sin, but it's at least a fault. We take the easy way out here. We cut corners here. We neglect the duty here. We play a little bit with temptation here. Again, cutting corners is dangerous. I remember Father Clement Kubisch many years ago giving a sermon on this, on cutting corners, the danger of cutting corners. Examine yourself. Where do you habitually cut corners spiritually? And that's where we have to be concerned with ourselves, not to let ourselves get into those habits. Again, it may not be a sin necessarily at first, but if we habitually seek the easy way, cut those corners spiritually, then we start falling. There's always that danger in this life. What also makes the harder way easier is to do it for love. Love of our Lord. So as we strive to be faithful in the little things, do it for love. The sacrifices of your daily duty, do it for love. And again, it's for that supernatural motive that alone gives us a reward up in heaven. If we don't have a supernatural motive, then our reward can only be in this life, and that's fleeting. It's very small compared to eternal riches. Lay up treasures in heaven, our Lord told us. I'm sure he's taught it repeatedly. Lay up treasures in heaven. And yes, even do your ordinary actions faithfully for the love of God. And of course, when there's sacrifice involved, the sacrifices involved in fighting temptation, doing our daily duty, offering up extra sacrifice and penance for ourselves and for others, those will receive a supernatural reward. So our eyes are on heaven today in a very unique way because our Lord and Savior is going to heaven. He ascends into heaven. So what is heaven like? I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you about what to expect. What is this place called heaven? It's not only a state, but it's also explained as a place. But the essence of heaven is seeing God face to face. We don't need faith anymore in heaven. Faith is to take God's word. But when you see God face to face, you don't need to take his word or anyone else's word. You're experiencing him directly and immediately. And how good is that? St. Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him." So we can only by analogy understand this, what it's like to see infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite beauty, infinite goodness, infinite love. We see something very beautiful, something very powerful, something filled with charity on earth. Again, that can only begin to give us an idea of what God is, of who God is. So, for all eternity, we'll be experiencing God. And we'll never fully understand him, because even in heaven, we'll still be finite creatures. We can't grasp the infinite even then, but we will obviously see and experience and know far more than anything we could know here on earth. So that is the essence of heaven, to see God face to face. It was clearly taught in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, as far back as Genesis. God says to Abraham, I will be your reward, exceedingly great. So God isn't saying, for all eternity, you'll be in a happy place if you persevere in serving me and loving me, but it'll be apart from me. It'll be a place of perfect happiness for you. God says, no, I will be your reward. And this is something we have no right to. We cannot claim to say, you have to give me the sight of you, the immediate experience of you. We have no right. This is a gift. How good God is to let us rise to such a transcendent height that we experience him face to face. What a subject of meditation for our whole lives. Infinite goodness, infinite everything good imaginable, and more. But there are other things that we will experience that philosophers and theologians would say we experience accidentally. And I use this in the philosophical sense of the word as opposed to essential. There's the essential, and then the accidental is the extra things around it, you might say. So what is the accidental blessedness of heaven, which is also given? An accidental bliss, I'm reading from a theology manual, is the blessed experience in virtue of community of life with Christ, or the experience the life of Christ in his human form. So we see the glorified human nature of Jesus. We will see those five wounds that he's keeping for all eternity. And they will always be a reminder of the price that he paid out of love, infinite love for us. We will see the Mother of God and all the angels and saints. We will be reunified with families and former friends from their earthly life, of course, if they persevered in God's grace and reached their heavenly reward. There were, according to the teaching of theologians, there are three classes of the blessed that receive, in addition to the essential bliss, a special reward for particular things they did. Virgins for their victory over the flesh, martyrs for their victory over the world, and teachers of the faith for their victory over the devil, the father of lies. So these are the extra accidental additional benefits and rewards of being in heaven. As we know, the bliss of heaven lasts eternally. It will never come to an end. Just as the punishment of hell will never come to an end, so the reward of the blessed, those who died in the state of sanctifying grace, their reward will never, ever come to an end. But there are degrees in heaven. And we deduce this from the teaching of our Lord. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And the church has echoed this by saying, for example, the Council of Florence, everyone in heaven clearly beholds the triune and one God as he is, but corresponding to the difference of their merits, the one more perfectly than the other. And it only makes sense that those who did more for the love of God, those who suffered more for God, those who grew more in virtue, obviously their reward is that much greater. So we are determining where in heaven we're going to be by our degree of effort. And this is just an analogy, is let's say you're going to a beautiful symphony orchestra production, and You know, those, but there are, everybody's going to witness the same performance, but in different degrees, because there are those who are in the best seats up in the front, and then those behind them, further away, more in the middle. And then, of course, there's people, as we call them, in the nosebleed seats. You know, way up in the different levels of the orchestra, they're far away. They obviously aren't experiencing as much because they're further away. So where will you be? Where will you be in at this eternal heavenly concert of seeing God face to face? So let us be inspired by these teachings of Holy Scripture, these teachings of the church, of the reality of heaven. And yes, we do need to meditate upon hell. That should be a regular thing, because we are motivated by fear. We don't want to lose a healthy fear. That's one of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's not the greatest gift, but it is the beginning of wisdom, as Scripture teaches us. But where is our meditation on heaven? We must absolutely do that. You might say meditation on hell is the stick. Meditating on heaven is the carrot, the positive motivation. And yes, absolutely, it should be part of our prayer life. So God is waiting to give this to you. As he said to the apostles, I go to prepare a place for you. We thank Jesus for his accomplishment of everything. We rejoice in his reward. And we pray to him, to Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints, may we be with you forever in heaven. Any sacrifice to get to heaven is absolutely worth it. And I'll close with this bumper sticker I saw once. I'm sure I've told you about it before, but it's very good. It shows a picture of, portrayed somehow of heaven, and it says, heaven, don't miss it for the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.